Get ready. Hello, hello. Welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Kami Jace, your host for another episode. Paul, of course, is not here because it is Hispanic Heritage Month. Paul's white. If you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 201 of the Weekly Cooldown. It is now, we have crossed the 200 threshold. It is 201 and it is episode, it is September 22nd. I did this last week where I was like, it's episode 200 and it's episode 200. And then I was like, wait a minute. What day is it again? I didn't say what day it was. Anyways, it's September 22nd. We are live on Twitch. If you are in the Twitch chat, please make sure to say hello. I love hearing from you. You know that. Be sure to just drop a little hi in there. Drop a little hi for my guest who has finally accepted my invitation. Finally accepted my invitation to be on. Once again, it is Hispanic Heritage Month, so of course, for this month until October, the middle of October, for reasons you should look up, we are doing all Hispanic or Latin or Latinx, Latino, Latina creators. We are talking to them, we're celebrating them, and we're having a good time. Joining me this time is none other than a friend of the show, but now a friend of the show, Glenn Angel.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Glenn, it's so weird because I think I first started following you because of, like, you had amazing, funny Final Fantasy 14 TikToks. And I love them so much.
Thank you.
And now it's like celebrity. I'm here with a celebrity.
Oh, please. That's I'm so irrelevant. Don't worry about it.
No, stop. Glenn, first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you for doing the show. Tell the people a little bit about what you do on the internet.
Hi, everyone. So I'm a person. I breathe. I have lungs.
That's strange.
Right? I'm familiar. They're so, like, it's so unique. No. So, hi, everyone. My name is Glenn Angel. My pronouns are they, them. I am a streamer here on Twitch, although I've taken a little bit of break just because, you know, life has just been so wild. But so my favorite things to stream are, like, MMOs. I've also done a lot of, like, short form clips, like TikToks for Final Fantasy 14. But we've taken a break on that. And we're, like, you know, trying to, like, find our new creative voice. Like, we're kind of, like, it's like we're in between jobs. We're in between creative paths right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy to be here. Yes, I finally did accept your invitation. You know, just my people just couldn't get in touch with me.
It was very hard. Your agent, very difficult person to work with.
I've had to fire at least three of them.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then I just hired myself. So,
wow, you know. Okay. Work.
That was a joke. I have no agents.
Super duper. Well, thank you for being here again. Like I said, big fan for a while. The Twitch, I am in your Twitch chat. I am in your TikTok thing, watching your TikToks all the time. Let's talk about first what, if any, video games you have been playing this week.
So this week, the biggest video game that I've been playing for a while that I actually had to take a break this week because I'm like, I'm going a little too hard, I'm gonna burn out, is Guild Wars 2. I have been loving Guild Wars 2 recently. It's become now one of my favorite games ever. People have been goading me to play it for a while, and I would try, like, here and there, but I'm like, oh, it's a lot. Like, it's very overwhelming, like, kind of like any other MMO. But once you get into it, I was like, oh my god, there's, like, so much you can, like, customize and try out, and the classes are really cool. My favorite class is the Mesmer. Basically, I make clones. They can explode on people. Like, I am very much trickery. Like,
yes.
It's so much fun. I've been really enjoying it. The reason why I had to take a break because I just made my fourth legendary item, which for anyone who doesn't know, legendaries are very, like, long-winded achievements that take a lot of in-game currency, a lot of in-game mats, a lot of in-game achievements, and it's just some of them can take like, if you want to like spend money, it can take you like a few days, but like normally it takes people like a month or two. So after making my fourth, I was like, let's take a break, you know, let's take a little bit of a break. But in its replacement, oh, my hands aren't working. Oh, sorry, yes, I am a natural VTuber.
Natural.
Natural, yes, this is
Born from
all
the ground.
natural. I'm non-binary, but I do come from binary code, unfortunately. No, but the game I've been playing nonstop this week has been Baldur's Gate 3. My computer
Natural.
finally got yeah, it's so good. My
Yeah.
computer finally got fixed. A big reason why I had to take a break creatively is because my computer that I use to like edit anything has been broken since March,
Oh, wow.
and now it's finally. I got the money, I got the coin. She got fixed, so now I can actually go back and like make some stuff. But I also can play Baldur's Gate 3, and I'm having an absolute blast playing with my warlock.
Oh, okay. That was my first question. So you are a warlock. What kind of warlock did you pick?
I am okay, so as a D&D noob, can you ask the question more like what my
What
subclass is?
subclass? Yes.
The one that's like the imp,
Oh,
the one
okay.
that's the familiar one. And I am a Seldarine Drow.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm using a lot of illusion magic as Mesmer. I'm just like, oh, minor illusion. Get distracted, bitch. Get distracted.
It is so great to hear you say this because that is how I played my first D&D character. Not that specific subclass, but the way that you are describing the way that you're playing Baldur's Gate 3 is exactly how I played my first D&D character. And then hearing you say Mesmer was my first Guild Wars 2 character, so or my
Yes.
first class. So we're on the same wavelength here.
We're
I feel
just
it. I feel it.
linked, you know?
We're so vibed.
With Guild Wars 2, actually, I have ADHD, if anyone can't tell.
Oh.
So with any MMO, I have to play every single class because I need to know what they do. And with Guild Wars 2, I have made so many builds for so many classes because I'm like, I would change what class I would play every single day. And then I was like, you know, I'm spending too many resources. Let's just do Mesmer. But that was like 3 years later, so.
I remember I was watching you the other day, and you were going through, I think it was like one of the newer jobs that you can pick, having hit a certain level as one of the gunslinger classes. And you were going through like all the tricks and the skills that you could do. You were going through it so fast, and you were so knowledgeable about the rotation and how each one works that I was like, am I bad at video games? I would never be able to memorize all of this.
Which class? You said a gunslinger
I don't
class?
remember. You had like a flamethrower, you were exploding
Oh,
things.
engineer.
Yes.
So that for me, one of the biggest things I have a lot of fun with playing games is like learning rotations. Like I don't go into raids like, oh, I'm gonna learn the best rotation and like get the best DPS. It's like I'll see what people do. And then like I'll see if it's necessary, but I have a lot of fun like literally just getting in front of a training dummy and I'm like, okay, here's my controller. Oh, and I play Guild Wars on a controller, so I'm like, okay, A, X, triangle, triangle, triangle. This 1 2 1 2 0 0.
Just mashing those buttons.
Yes, and then after a while, like, oh, it gets my like the memorizing and like kind of like being able to like play that's a lot of fun for me. Like I did the same thing with Final Fantasy 14. I'm like, okay, how do I play a samurai? I would have like the rotate like the opener on the side and like just keep practicing. How do I play
Muscle memory.
machinist? And yeah.
That's very good. That's very good. I too am very muscle memory oriented. So the way that I remember how to do summoner is not necessarily the way that people tell you to do it. It's just based on where I have the keys on my keyboard. And I'm just like, okay, press this button now, press that button now, switch over to this, shift key, alt, control. I get it. I get it. I'm on the same, again, where I would
We're
say we're eye
just
to eye, but like,
we're Ida Pixel.
there you go.
With
Love
Summoner, I love to be rebellious because the balance says you need to summon Titan first because like obviously Titan's like fits into like the DPS window. It doesn't matter
Yeah.
really. It doesn't really matter, but I'm like, no, I'm gonna do Ifrit first
I'm gonna
and
do
making them
Garuda
all
first.
mad. Garuda first is an option too.
Your cycles are synced. Listen, shut up. I love that. Your cycles are
The moment you hit play, it's like, oh, synced up.
synced. There you go. We got it. We got it. We got it. Very good, very good. Again, wonderful to have you on. So once again, folks, it is Hispanic Heritage Month, Latin Heritage Month, Latina, Latino, Latinx, whatever you call yourself, you're welcome in the community here. So you discussed your work, you discussed what you do within the gaming community. Let's discuss, if you're comfortable, your kind of, I don't want to say heritage because that's weird, but like, you know, who you are as a person of Hispanic or Latin descent.
My experience.
Yeah. And you know, what, if anything, you bring that kind of intersects with gaming as well.
Yeah, so my background, my parents are from the Dominican Republic. I was born in the United States. I was born at a very young age. And basically where I grew up was very much like a mixed like city. Like it was predominantly Latin Americans, but also there was a black community. The Asian community was specifically like South Chinese and Filipino. And I believe there was also a sizable like Polish population. So like I grew up like pretty like,
sounds like mixed. The Bronx.
Yeah, it's very much the Bronx, yeah. So I grew up, like, very mixed. I grew up in North Jersey, so it was, like, pretty similar. But it wasn't until I went to college, and I went to, like, a college in Central Jersey, and, like, it's, the demographic is very similar to, like, what the U.S. is, like, 70% white. And I was like, oh, she's different. Like, right. I never really thought about it until I got to that place. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's pretty different. But, yeah, my biggest thing, like, being Hispanic was, growing up, I actually wasn't able to speak Spanish that well, even though my entire family, like people ask, like, oh, did your family just not speak? No. Every single person, every person, but like my cousins of my generation, because I grew up an only child, spoke Spanish. So it's not that I wasn't like exposed to it. It's like, I think something happened when I was little and I was traumatized. I remember telling my mom, like, mom, speak to me English now. Like, don't speak to me in Spanish anymore. And I remember seeing her reach for that chancleta. She was not happy about that at all. And it took, like, a lot of time for me to, like, kind of get back, one, feeling proud of the language, and also, like, getting to the place where it's, like, I can speak it comfortably. I'm still not, like, perfect, but it's, like, it was, especially when I went to, like, that college and seeing the difference and seeing how I was different from other people, made me even more prideful of my language and my heritage and my background. I was like, you know what? We're going to celebrate this, to the chagrin of people who were like, why are you always going to speak Spanish? I'm like, listen, right. It's me.
Exactly. I've had, and I've said this before on this show and for this month, I had a very opposite upbringing. My mom speaks Spanish fluently. You know, she understands it, she's quick with it. Me, I have very little ability to speak it. I can hear it, understand it, process it, but then I have to answer in English because I do not have the skill to like process it quick enough for me to then bring it out in Spanish. So my Spanish speaking ability is very there. Hearing you go through college and people were having the why are you always speaking in Spanish response. I had the why aren't you speaking Spanish response when I was in college. And it was hard for me to say to people like, I just can't. Like, it does not come naturally to me. I understand what you're saying for the most part. Like, I can pick up most of your key phrases and I know that you're talking shit about me right now. But I cannot respond to you in Spanish. I must respond to you in English. And it is purely because I don't have those that like rote memorization. I don't have the kind of muscle memory of Spanish. And this is despite my mom being able to speak it to me, you know, take out the garbage and I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm on it. You got it. It's very strange how, like, the one thing that does kind of bind our community together, like, one of the many things, but the most specific thing, the primary thing that people think of first, it's like a barrier for so many of us.
Yes. And even now and back then, like the thing is that, like, I would have people asking like, why do you keep speaking Spanish? But they were like white Americans. But when I would be around like other Latinos, I would get like that like insecurity. and like my brain would kind of stop and I wouldn't be able to like respond, or like I would have to take like a long time. Even now, like sometimes, like if I'm with other like Latin Americans, like they're speaking really fluently, sometimes I might not be able to like pick up on something right away, or like I can't translate right away, and then it kind of just derails everything. So I noticed like I'm much, it's actually, no, before it used to be easier to write in Spanish, but now I feel like it's harder for me to write in Spanish. Because when I speak, at least like I can just say, oh no, I'm just speaking my Dominican accent, and like if I mess something up, I can kind of like slur it a bit, so it's like you know what the word I'm saying, but if I write, it's like you know exactly, like you know I did not know how to spell this word whatsoever.
Right interesting. And so does that make it into your gaming at all? Does that make it into your Twitch channel at all? Like, how does being who you are, I guess, factor into your experience in video games?
So I remember for at least with Twitch, actually no, let's talk about video games first. Whenever I see any character that's coded Latin American, I get so excited. I'm like, I need to play that character. So like when Sombra came out, I was like, oh, I'm playing her. Although I was really bad playing with Sombra, I would try very hard and be like, you know, like very that. Or there's also some like Latin American characters in like Apex Legends, even though again I'm not that great at shooting game. Just like seeing that like small hint of representation, while it can be like better, it's like, oh, there's something I can kind of attach myself to and like just like enjoy. With Twitch, I didn't really try. I think I just had fun. I was like, oh, let me just like when it came to branding, I like, I don't know. I made my alerts like Spanish. They used to be Spanish songs until like we had like the whole copyright scare. Yeah, so I just like made them like very generic. Like, oh, this is salsa, this is bachata, this is merengue, and like all my alerts are in Spanish. And it's not like, it's just because it's fun for me, to be honest. Like I still have like the, what's the word, like the thing in the back of my mind that says like, oh, I'm not a real like Latina, or like I'm not like I'm not really Dominican, because like I'm not like a certain way, I don't speak perfectly, I don't act a certain type of way. Actually, when I learned about like being non-binary, as like a quick side note, I thought about like in the lens of both being an American, being a Dominican, and like being a Dominican man, I was like, I'm definitely not that. I do not identify with that at all. So that really helped me like be more non-binary. So that also was like another thing. It's like being a Dominican Mexican person, there's a very specific expectation. So it's all about like, I'm like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just gonna do me, I'm gonna have fun, this is something I grew up with, and I'm just gonna, if I mess up, I mess up, if I learn, I learn. And like honestly, because of this, my Spanish has gotten better just from just speaking my bad Spanish and then improving.
That's going back to that journey for you, that non-binary journey. I don't think I am non-binary, but the way that you articulated that just now, because I'm both Puerto Rican and Jamaican, there's expectations of Black men, of Jamaican men, of Puerto Rican men, right, that I know I do not fit, and I've never fit into, and I've never felt like I've wanted to fit into, that I've been forced to try and fit into but don't. That have given me some kind of pause about, you know, not feeling like I'm representative of being Black or being Hispanic or being Jamaican or anything like that. So like hearing you articulate it, not only based on your, culture and your heritage, but also on your, gender expression and your gender identity, that hit me somewhere. That hit me a little bit. And thank you for sharing that too.
Yes, of course.
I really appreciate that.
Non-binary or gender identity is such like a big, vast thing that very recently I've kind of like had a job. I've lost, unfortunately, but I had a job where I worked in an LGBT center, and seeing who I thought that my coworkers were supposed to be like experts on this, seeing how little knowledge they had on like the non-binary spectrum. They definitely knew a lot about trans, like binary trans people, because that was where I worked at. I worked in the section specifically for like trans people, which was great. I love the people I worked with. I now have a new mother, I have a new sister, I have a new brother. It's great. But like seeing even them not understand the full like spectrum or like the full like possibilities of what it could be, it was like it's interesting because I feel like in our spaces, because we're seeing people who are so like openly expressive about who they are, like so like open about who we are, we kind of just think that, oh, then most people in the queer community probably should know, but they don't. Right. So that was like eye-opening.
Yeah we're always kind of figuring things out about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Always on a journey. Once again, thank you for sharing that. I really do appreciate it. So discuss your why, right? You are back on Twitch. You may be back on TikTok.
Soon.
you're doing a VTuber experiment. Clearly you enjoy doing this. Mm-hmm. It's something you're having fun doing. But is there a deeper why to why you're doing this? Is any part of it related to your cultural identity?
So I remember the thing that really got... Well, actually, no. When I was younger and, like, YouTube was starting to, like, really, like, start. And you know how, like, they were, like... They're now mostly all problematic. But at the time, the YouTube star is like, oh, like, that was, like, such a cool, like, thing to have as a career. I always had, like, a dream of that, but I didn't know, like, how to express it. And then actually, the first Twitch streamer I saw that made me want to like really try it was Angel XO, and I loved the way she just like had fun streaming, how she interacted with the community, how the community was on the chat is always funny in that channel, and I was like, I want to try that too. And then like it very much was like kind of my desire to be like, you know, a celebrity. But it really is just it was to have a lot of fun. And I never really thought about like my identity as part of it. It was more like it was like me first and then identity second. Mm-hmm. Because I try not to put too much focus in like I have to show my everything to be visible for the community, because like after a certain point that can be either like one tiring. Oh my god, wait, I have hands. That could be one tiring. That can be two. Like it also can like kind of warp after a certain point where you kind of like lose focus of like what you had, and then you just think of like, I need to do this and that, and I've just seen some people like kind of like go a little bit too into that realm, lose the fun, and then kind of like have like I don't know how to like properly like word it, but it just becomes something different that like I don't think they've intended on sure, it being
sure. Yeah. Definitely it's definitely a decision to yes. put like your whole self into something, and kind of having to stick to that, right? Especially if you see that it's working, in terms of if you're after those types of things, right? Like numbers and engagement, activity, and you know, at some point you have to really pick and choose like what is for you and what is for them, right?
Thank you for so eloquently like wording that. I was like, that's exactly what I wanted to say, but I could not say that.
No, I got you. And I think that's something a lot of folks who are trying to do anything on the internet are trying to figure out, right? Like, how much of myself do I give to everyone on the internet? Is my culture a part of that? Is my sexual or gender identity a part of that? How much of that is in my online persona, so to speak. And I think that there's something very comforting, I guess, about you knowing just how much you're willing to give and how much you want to keep for yourself.
Yeah, because in my opinion, and again, it's my opinion. In my opinion,
it's my opinion.
It's very much like it's kind of like with these types of things, we kind of shouldn't take things so seriously. It's very much about having fun. Like the people who make it really don't do too much. It's very much like it's like what they call success. It's like preparation and luck. And when that luck comes, you're prepared just to like continue being yourself, not having to like chase a specific idea, chase specific numbers, thinking that what you need to do needs like what got you there needs to be done all the time. And then on top of that, like, if you celebrate yourself just how you want it to be, then that in itself is, like, also really great. Because it's, like, you're just doing, you're being you authentically. You're celebrating, having fun about the parts that make you. Other people see it, and then they get to feel, like, empowered, inspired. Right. And then you're basically doing the work without having to, like, make a whole note. Like, okay, so I need to do this, do that, and this and that.
Right, right. A little bit of authenticity goes a long way for, I think, you and the people that follow you.
Just a dash.
Just a dash. A touch of authenticity. Very good, very good. So through doing the things that you do on the internet, including just being a gamer, right? Like, you are a Guild Wars 2 player. You are a Final Fantasy 14 player. Off of Twitch, I imagine you are still those things. Off of TikTok, I imagine you are still those things. Have you been able to connect to folks who fit within your community? And was it hard to do that, or, you know, to navigate doing that?
I would say yes, still to this day, because a lot of the games I play are very much like MMOs. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see a lot of other, like Latine MMO players. Definitely did not feel that in Final Fantasy 14. Like, whenever I thought about it, I was like, I don't think I can think of, like, any, like, top... Not saying I was a top streamer, but, like, right. Thinking of, like, top streamers who was Latin American, I can't really, like, put my finger on it. Same with Guild Wars 2. I'm sure in WoW there were some, but, like, I was never really part of the WoW scene.
Sure.
Because also, like, again, with the MMO scene, even though there's, like, a big queer community, like, it's very much dominated by, like, straight culture. So, like, when I think of, like, my community, it's very much the queer Latin American community. Mm-hmm. Even though I love my straight Latinos.
Love you, straight folks.
Love you. But, you know, however. sometimes
however.
Sometimes we just need a little bit of rainbow. You will be dealt with. Period. Sure, period. Sure.
A little color.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I mean, I definitely agree there, right? You know, especially because you never really know who you're interacting with
exactly.
On the internet. But can you recall, like, what the experience was like finally, like, finding someone, right? Someone who understands.
Yes, I still talk to him to this day. We share all the Spanish memes. It's so much fun getting to know, like, a friend who has a similar background to you. And, like, it also, on top of that, like, I'm thinking of Jacoz. Jacoz is one of my really good friends I met online, who is also Latine, queer. However, he is Mexican. Also, he's from the West Coast. Already there, like, the differences. Like, there's those similarities, but the differences, and, like, we celebrate them. I love them so much. And yeah, like, it's always fun sending Spanish memes. I will say this. Recently, I'm very happy and proud of myself because I think I finally got the algorithm, at least on Instagram. TikTok, she's getting there for some reason. But it's Instagram, so when I tell you, I have so many, like, queer Latin memes going when I'm scrolling through the reels, I'm so happy.
I don't understand how TikTok's algorithm works.
It's gotten really bad recently. Like,
I get our weird ads.
Yes, I've gotten one thing from the TikTok shop. I've bought one... that's two fingers. I bought one thing from the TikTok shop, and now every other video is someone promoting something from the TikTok shop, and I'm like, no, I can't.
Beef.
No puedo that. Déjame en paz. Déjame ver these memes.
Brief shout out to friend... No, not friend of the show yet, but brief shout out to Shock Jaws, who sends me all the TikTok memes. So that my For You algorithm can look like something and not like a weird ad, a weird shopping catalog for TikTok real. Things.
And I feel like that has been a recent change too, because I don't remember this being a thing like in June, July. Like, it's like August is like, wait a minute, why is it like, it's all once like the get, late.
Once they get money, they all turn weird. Twitter, TikTok, once they get a little bit of money, they're like, time to get fucking strange.
Can I talk about something with X, because that's what they want to call themselves now.
Sure.
With Twitter, my biggest gripe, And even my hand is, you see my hand, she's going everywhere. Like, it's just so angry. My biggest gripe is how, like, people who pay for the subscription are at the top of, like, mm-hmm. the comments. And then I'll see posts with funny memes, but because they're available to such a wide audience, every single time, I can't clap, every single time, the first comments are people putting their own memes that are just not, like, related at all. I'm like, funny, what are you doing here? Relatable. This is not iFunny. Get out of here.
They just have a blue check that they're paying $8 for.
Yes, the meme can be about a cow that mooed and then tripped, but, like, not in a way that was, like, dangerous. And they'll have a meme about, like, the girl stealing the car. And I'm like,
what? The girl stood on the car. Very good. I mean, very bad, but very good.
You know, it's just these are the observations we make.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The observations of our time. So outside of doing Twitch and creating all these other things, what else goes on in with the Glen on Hill? What else happens?
So what do you therapy. Enjoy?
Therapy, fair.
Therapy.
Do you enjoy therapy?
So my therapists have not been good, so no.
Oh, okay.
Basically, what's unfortunate is that a lot of the people that I've been getting have been like basically social workers. So they kinda like hit like the very much like surface level, but I need someone to go deep. I kinda dealt with a lot of stuff in 2021, unfortunately. I think it was 2021. Yeah. That I feel like have affected me, and I've not been able to find a therapist yet to like really help out with that.
Sure.
But a lot of self-discovery. I will say, like, I'm kind of like in like a transition phase of like, all right, I have some free time. What does Glen want to do? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that yet. So that's very much like, it's like when you're going to your 30s. I know I'm so old, but I look so young, right? okay.
Like a freshly created. Maybe slightly pixelated, fresh young woman.
Slightly. it's very much like the quarter life crisis of like going into the 30s. Like, okay, what did I do in my 20s? The pandemic happened, but also like it's very much like, did I waste my 20s? It's that.
Sure.
That's the emotional.
I'm there a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just turned 30, so I'm doing a lot of. What didn't I do in my 20s that I really wanted to do in my 20s? I'm doing that now. I got my ears pierced, which was my first
yes.
step.
Yes!
And recently, I've been on like a... There's like a creative streak. Like, I just want to make a whole bunch of stuff and do all the things that I said I was going to
learn how to do. Ride that wave.
I'm on it. So see, we're on the same line. We're on the same wavelength.
Our cycles are synced. Our cycles are synced. Yeah, no, I think what I had a lot of fun with content creation before and why it's like kind of hard to like get back to it was like very much I didn't think about what would like do well. When I tell you, because I was unemployed before the pandemic, unfortunately, it would be like 11 a.m. I just made my breakfast. I am washing my dishes. And then boom, some idea came up. It can be the silliest thing ever, but I just did it. And then sometimes those would be the ones that like would get the best numbers. Mm. Now, after I've had a few of them like in my wheelhouse and wanting to change, it is the most like writer's block I've ever experienced in my life. And I'm just like, what do I want? Yeah. And then I just look at the notebook and I'm like, well...
Maybe next time.
Maybe tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely feels like there is a strike while the iron's hot kind of thing when it comes yes. to creativity, where the moment you have an idea, you should probably start acting on it, or else it'll just kind of...
Goodbye. I had an idea recently, but it involved me going to the store to pick up something. And when I tell you, I had no motivation to do that. It never happened. And it's too late for me to do the video now because it's very time specific. So it's like, well, on to the next one.
Yeah. If you don't get in on it right then and there,
yeah,
probably is not going to be happening.
But one thing I have been looking into and wanting to try out is getting into makeup.
Okay, that sounds mm-hmm. great.
Yes. Yeah. Although because I live with my family, it's very much like secretive, so I can't really do much. But I snuck in a little foundation. Ooh. And some concealer. Nice. And I'm feeling myself.
Very good. Better work. You better work. I love that. I hope to see those Twitch streams and those videos.
Thank you.
Very excited, very excited.
And I'm hoping to see all the creativity that you're writing on right now.
I got so many ideas. It's fucking dangerous. So outside of your MMOs, do you have any other games that you enjoy playing?
So yeah, so right now, Baldur's Gate 3. I think I'm going to try to branch off of MMOs, because when I tell you it's only been MMOs, something about MMOs.
I get it.
It's the fact there's always something to do, and if I don't feel like doing something else, right now.
Were you one of the kids who couldn't get MMOs because they were subscription-based? And your mom would not pay the money for a subscription, so you went and tried to find free ones, and they were not as good. And
do you want to know what my first MMO was?
Yes.
It was called Fiesta Online.
Yes.
Have you played it?
I've played almost every Korean MMO there is. And Fiesta was
everything down under the sun.
They were so good.
I enjoyed it. I really liked it. But when I tell you, I couldn't get behind the grind. I don't think I ever got a character past 61. Actually, no, I wanted to get a mage to level 60 because I loved that, like, ice spell that would fall down to the ground. Because I'm like, that looks so cool. And, like, you know, like, everyone would, like, farm by, like, kiting. And I never got to that point. I would legit be in, like, the main cities, and I would just, like, be in all chat. And all chat was mad wholesome in that game. Not, like, any other game. Like, Jesus Christ, I remember...
it's weird now.
I would just make up stories. I think I made up a story about an owl who, like, told a girl that she needs to, like, avoid this place and save her. Like, it was just... I was, like... How old was I?
A great time.
I was 13 years old.
Yeah, Korean MMOs were where, like, the free-to-play Korean MMOs was where they were at. Like, once they got ported over to North America, I was a MapleStory boy for many, many, many years. And then they came out with a game called Mappa Nogi. And that game stole a lot of my mom's money. Because they had gacha that had really cool outfits. Everyone wanted the cool outfits. You could sell the cool outfits for in-game gold, of course, right? Because not only could you get the gacha for yourself, but then you could, like, sell whatever was in them in-game. So there was, like, a whole economy based around dyeing clothes and having the coolest clothes. Eventually, wigs came. It was very gay. Eventually, wigs came out. Wigs. Eventually, they started doing, like, poses. There was a fashion show that you could enter every week. Like, it was
they were all, like, profitable, like,
yeah, like, you could make millions of gold whatever doing all of that. But, like, a lot of that came from spending $50 on Nexon cash, getting all the gotchas, opening them all up, not one by one, because the chances were weird if you did them one by one, because they thought that you were buying just $1 worth of cash, and then they were giving you the cheap stuff. So if you bought 50 at a time and then opened all 50 of them, you had a higher chance of getting cooler things. And yeah, it was very predatory. And I'm 90% sure that any cool game that Nexon is coming out with this year is funded by me. Like, 100%.
Also, the way I saw you, like, reach your arm to the side for some reason, I thought you were like, and this is one of the things that I bought. Like, like, it doesn't make sense because of virtual, but it's like my first. So I was like, and here's one of the things that cost me $1,000.
No.
My hand. Oop, there. No.
Me and my friends did a thing where we went back and we looked at how much cash we've ever bought and how many things we've bought. And teenage me was spending.
Speaking of spending my mother's money, in Fiesta, so the currency, as you know, we're called, I think, Spark Notes, right?
Something like Spark Notes.
not Spark Notes.
Cliff Notes.
one of those. It's Spark something. But there was, like, oh my god, I'm trying to see how I can explain it. Like, when you wanted to get more Spark, I'll call them Sparkies. Get more Sparkies, you could, like, choose, like, oh, get these amount of Sparkies for $5, $10, $50.
Yep.
But if you scroll down, there was, like, oh, take this quiz and get, like, 100 Sparkies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then there was some, like, oh, subscribe to this and get 1,000.
I still get spam emails.
Me not know, that's probably where all my spam emails come from, to be honest.
I've done it.
I didn't understand it, and I would put all these subscriptions on my phone, and then they would go to my phone bill.
Yep.
And I had a phone bill of like 200 something dollars from these fucking Spark notes. And I
Sparkies
remember
add up.
the Sparkies added up, and I remember I called and I was like, "Oh no, I would like lie to like these companies. My brother like did it by accident. Can you like refund it?" It's like, "No, we can't do that." I was like, "Oh shit."
Well,
and so,
at least cancel it.
Yes, I canceled them
Get
all.
Rid of it.
Jesus Christ! But I remember like it happened. Me and my mom tried to hide it from my dad because a Dominican father losing money is never something you want to deal with. And I remember he confronted me one day, and I think I rolled a 20 on like persuasion or deception.
Ooh, there you go, there you
because
go.
Luckily, you know, D&Z, she's working it.
She's working it.
Something happened, and we just like switched topics.
It was over. Good job. Well done. Mm-hmm.
Thank
well
you.
Done. And to this day, you have to take that to your grave.
There we go. I got a nat 20 on a persuasion check with
you
my father.
You can never know. Very good. So outside of what you create, the video games you play, all of that stuff, how do you choose to celebrate or share or show your culture to others, both inside and outside of the community?
That's a really good question. I'm so glad you asked that.
Thank you.
Give
thank
me
you.
A moment while I think about that, because I could have thought about it before, and I thought I did, but I didn't. Can you repeat the question one more time?
Yeah. So outside of gaming, outside of Twitch streaming, outside of TikTok, how do you choose to celebrate and share and show your culture to both people in and outside of your community?
So I love talking about our food.
Mm.
I think no matter how much you don't feel connected to your culture, if you know the food, your culture. Like,
yeah,
celebrate, like, oh, the taste buds do everything. I love listening to all types of Spanish music. Recently, I realized of a term of a debate, because like, especially with like Dominican music, like there's like a debate about like, oh, what's better, like the older generation, the newer generation. Mm. I love the old. It's called like Generación Vieja. Mm. I love the older generation music because it feels so nostalgic. Even if I didn't know what they were talking about when I was little,
sure.
my parents would blast all the time when we were like driving, when we were in the living room. My mom would be like cleaning the house, and I would help her when I was in the barbershop. Even though those barbershops were really like, you know, low key like dysphoric, and I'm like, why am I here? There's too much testosterone happening. Wait, I try to like, there you go. I try to do this with my hair, but it wasn't working. Ugh, there's like too much testosterone. There's something about like the sound, the musicality, the lyrics. It just so yeah. I love music. I love the food. I love talking in Spanish. Again, like I still feel insecure, but like something I love to do is pretend like I'm being like a guest on Good Morning America, and I'll do like segments in English and Spanish. Like, oh, if I were to be interviewed, I'll say, "Hola, sí, soy Glenn Angel, gracias por tenerme," and I like, just like go through like a whole interview by myself. So those are some of the things I like to do.
Very good, very good, wonderful. That is all the questions I had for you. What do you want the people to know about you, and anything else you want to share?
Well, know that no matter how many pixels you how many frames per second you see me, I am the realest bitch you ever meet. No, let me stop. No, like I chat a lot. If you want to come and see gameplay, you might see that for 2 seconds, and then we'll just chat about things for a whole 2 hours. No, I just if you come by my stream, it's very much like we just like to have fun. Yeah, I'm currently, like, you know, like I mentioned before, transitioning into, like, what I want my content to be, because I feel like I kind of stagnated. Not to, like, put myself down, but like, it's just, like, a feeling as an artist.
As an artist.
As a creator. we're experimenting right now.
As
like,
an
with
influencer.
This, as an influencer, as a celebrity. Like, you probably won't see me with this VTuber all the time, but, like, I don't know, she's kind of cute, so I was like, I have to try out some days.
Make sure she's visible.
Yes.
Seen.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, I'm here to have fun and not take things seriously.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you for being on once again. I really do appreciate it. It's been great to have you, and I want to have you back already.
Yes, thank you. I had a lot of fun so far. And then I just, like, close the call. It's been great. Wonderful.
I hated it. I'll never go back. But as we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for?
Let's see. Everyone's playing Baldur's Gate 2. Everyone I mean, 3. Is. Every single person is. Definitely, I would say if you like RPG, if you like MMOs, RPGs, character-driven storytelling, and a lot of customization, please give Guild Wars 2 a try. It's very overwhelming, especially in other MMOs. I would say it's very, very overwhelming, kind of one of the most, but it also is one of the most relaxing. I'm taking a week off of the game, and it'll be there. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. The community is great. It's one of the only MMOs where I feel like it's actually a massively multiplayer online game of a very specific thing called metas. Not the meta, but basically it's like these events that happen like time-based, like it'll happen like in this area, this will happen every 2 hours, this will happen every 1 hour, and a lot of people come together and they do like an event, and it's like maybe there'll be 20 people, maybe there'll be 100 people, and it's like, oh my god, I'm actually playing like an online game. There are multiple people here. It's the MMO. Can you believe?
Can you believe? It's massively multiplayer online. Can you believe?
Right. Like, I'm clicking my buttons and so are they.
Yeah. Guild Wars 2, I mean, it has the kind of, I don't want to say benefit necessarily, but it has the longevity, right? That it's an 11-year-old game now. It has a lot to do in it because it's quite storied now. So yeah, go check out Guild Wars 2.
When you make a set that you like, it'll always be BIS.
That is true. Yeah. It's not one of these games, Final Fantasy 14, that you need to like, spend your whole life dedicated to figuring it all out. On that note, I'm going to recommend two games. First is Bomber Cyberpunk, which I already spoke about. Very fun, very stylized, very good soundtrack that I still listen to. I've been listening to it in the car lately. Bomber Cyberpunk is a lot of fun. Go check it out. And Armored Core 6 is actually a lot of fun. If you're like a FromSoft fan, right? If you like Elden Ring and Dark Souls and all that, good news or bad news, this is not anything like that, but it is still made by them. The kind of hardcore element of the gameplay is still there, but it's robots instead, and it's fully customizable robots. You could be the Gundam you've always wanted to be in your life, so go check it out.
I love that.
And finally, to finish off this episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet and if you have anything else to plug.
Yes, so you can find me on Twitch and YouTube and Instagram on Glen Angel or Glen Angel, GlennAngel, and on Twitter and TikTok at Hello Glen Angel, because someone stole my name. but yes, right now I'm experimenting with the schedule of streaming Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays from 3 p.m. Eastern time to 7 p.m. However, that didn't happen today, and that's not happening tomorrow. So, you know, experimenting. But for now, that is the schedule I'm looking at. We've been playing mostly, like, Baldur's Gate 3. I'm going to try to go back to playing Nier Automata. I tried to play that game 3 times. It's a good game, but I get overwhelmed. And then it's like, oh, let me play something else. I know it's a really good game. And yeah, if you want to see more madness, just check me out at those links.
Perfect. All right. So, full disclosure, I believe that I'm getting sick. So we're gonna try to do the part that I usually do super fast, with the added nonsense happening up here in the cranium. All right. As always, you could find me at ComedyScape. Nope, already fell.
No, just go through it. We didn't hear anything.
All right. As always, you can find me at Carmichase Gaming on Twitter. And remember that you can find the Weekly Cooldown as well on Twitter at WKCooldown. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook. Nope. Instagram page, not Facebook. Facebook, not a fan anymore. Instagram, we're getting there. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Spotify on the phone only, though. It's weird. Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And remember that you can support your favorite charities and support this show. Remember that you can also find the show sometimes at Comedy Jace Gaming on Twitch, which some of you are on right now. Thank you for joining. And you can find me streaming other things there. Bomber Cyberpunk, we just finished up. I don't know what I'm going to stream next, but let's figure it out together. Join us again, Comedy Jace Gaming on Twitch. Our logo and art is done by Corgian. Find Corgian on Twitter at Doghouse Corgian, DoghouseCorgian. That's Doghouse Corgian on Twitter. And our intro music is done by Riki. Find Riki on Twitter at Dog_Noise, DoghNoise. That is all for the weekly cooldown. I did it. I am Comedy Jace.
And I am Glenn Angel.
And we'll see you next week. Yeah, we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone.